Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning. Hey, there we go. It is good to see your faces. You looking at me, that brings me joy. So, we are in week 5 of 6 on our sermon series of Sabbath and Rest. And to recap kind of what we've been doing these past 5 weeks. So our first week, we spent time in the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2, where God rested from his work on the seventh day of creation. He filled the whole earth with his glory, dwelling and enjoying with all that he had made. We also, week 1, spent time in the Exodus story, as God rescued the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and commanded them to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy by resting and not working, so that they too could dwell and enjoy God. Week 2, we gathered from our time in the parable of the generous landowner that God is unbelievably generous, that he loves to bring outsiders in, that our proper response to God's generosity, his generous love, is gratitude. Week 3, we paid special attention to the scene between Jesus and this woman of the city, a known sinner. We witnessed her receiving Jesus as her Lord and Savior, as well as Jesus' reception of her with love and restoration. Last week, we traced out the theme of biblical hospitality. This is last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we imagined ourselves like that poor, beaten, kind of half-dead fellow, as ones to whom God lavishes his compassionate and merciful hospitality on us. This week, we will spend time with another familiar parable Brandon mentioned just a little bit ago, the prodigal son. And it's found in Luke 15, so if you want to open your Bible or get your phone app out. Ooh, that's not me. That's not me. Good. Perfect time, because all we're doing is flipping to a Bible verse, so we're good. That's fine. I'll take a drink. So Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip to 11 through 32. Good morning. So throughout the weeks, we've been practicing the spiritual discipline of imaginative prayer, where we find or where we use our minds, our hearts, and even our bodies to imagine ourselves inside the scriptures, inside God's story. And we do this for a couple reasons. First, we seek to encounter and experience Jesus Christ, the Lord of Sabbath, as we prayerfully read the scriptures. And second, by intentionally spending time with Jesus in the scriptures, we also get to taste, we get a taste or we get a glimpse of Sabbath rest for ourselves. And honestly, one of my big hopes for this series is to invite us into an experience of Sabbath rest with God, so that it will spark some serious conversation between you and God about what role Sabbath ought to play in your life. So that's my hope. For some of us, this imaginative prayer, it's kind of been a swing and a miss, hasn't it? For others, it's been great. The cool part about this spiritual discipline that we're engaging in every single week, it's just one of many ways to legitimately legitimately engage the scriptures and to work with the Holy Spirit. So you totally have permission to have a hard time, okay? And remember that we're asking God to reveal himself in scripture as we slowly walk through it with our imaginations and our hearts. So God will honor our efforts to interact with him. So if you're ready, I'll read our passage twice. And for the first time, ask the Lord to let you hear it with a fresh mind, a fresh ear, like you're kind of hearing it for the first time. So I'll read it now. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He had called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" So for this second time that I'll read the passage, I want you to imagine yourself in the story, experiencing it for yourself. Pay attention to what you might see in the parable, the house, the farmland, the pig slop, the face of the father receiving his son back, the expression on the son's face maybe as he sees his father running up to him. What might you see at the party, at the celebration? Pay attention to what you might hear in the parable, the different tones and voice between the father and the two sons, the oinks of the pigs, the splash of the slop in the trough, maybe the quick footsteps of the father running or the music playing at the party. Pay attention to the pleasant smells of the feast and the not-so-pleasant smells when the younger brother was far away with the pigs. Also, pay attention to who you identify yourself with in the parable. That's important. So if it helps, you can close your eyes. You don't have to. But I'll read it now, and we imagine ourselves in the parable. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a faraway country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens in that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the father said to him, or and the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. And it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." So as we reflect now, pay attention to where you were in the story and also what feelings came up. Pay attention to Jesus as well and linger here just for a moment. Now, as most of it fades away, just leaving you and Jesus together, notice the interaction going on between you and Jesus. And as we move on from the scene, hold on to the interaction you had with Jesus, whether it was comforting or convicting, whether you felt peace or frustration or anxiety, or it was just strange. I encourage you to share with someone else today what your time with Jesus right now was like. So, we've been focused on Sabbath and rest these past few weeks. And I've guided us through interacting with Jesus in the gospel because, and I underlined this, so I'm going to say it twice. The way we understand who God is and how he relates to us, that's critical, that's crucial, because it makes or breaks how Sabbath, how resting with God, how it will actually feel like. Let me say it again. I think it's up there in better words than what I read. The way we understand who God is and how he relates to us is so crucial. It makes or breaks how Sabbath, how resting with God will actually feel like. Do we imagine that God still sees us as his very good creation? Like he said in the creation story in Genesis 1 and 2. Do we trust that God declaring us good is a deeper, more foundational truth than our sin and our rebellion? Do we believe even in the midst of our rebellion, kind of like the Israelites in Exodus, fashioning and worshiping the golden calf, that he, that God, still will never forsake us? That he actually finds favor with us, that he actually enjoys dwelling with us? Do we imagine, even in our running away from home, in betraying God and squandering our inheritance, sleeping next to pigs, that God is still looking out on the horizon for us to come home? Do we believe that God has forgotten us or is waiting at home with his arms crossed, ready to chew us out for being so stupid? Do we figure that we have to somehow convince God to bring us back as a lowly hired hand? Or do we dare hope that when we see God sprinting toward us, his arms stretched out, a robe and a ring in his hand, smothering us with merciful kisses, that God is joyfully receiving and restoring us back into the family? Do we bank on God being stingy, holding back his love and affection until we work for it and earn it back by the sweat of our brow? Or do we dare to trust Jesus when he says that God is amazingly generous, that everything he has is already ours because we are his sons and daughters? Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord of the Sabbath, is living, breathing proof that he's living, breathing proof of God's compassionate hospitality toward us. In Matthew 11, Jesus invites us into Sabbath rest. "Come to me," Jesus says, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I can imagine Jesus saying, "Follow me. I know where the Father's house is. I'll take you home. He's generous. He'll receive you. He's been waiting for you this whole time. And once we get there, he's going to throw a giant party now that he's got you back." Sabbath is resting in Jesus. Sabbath is trusting in and believing that God is as good as Jesus says he is. We don't work for or earn God's love or affection. Sabbath is allowing our minds and hearts and bodies to absorb and soak in what life looks like as a precious and cherished child of God. Sabbath is a time to rest, to play, to celebrate, because God loves you. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, for some reason we have such a hard time seeing and understanding and grasping and holding on to your ridiculously amazing love. For some reason we work for it. We don't think it's as good as it really is, Lord. And we believe, yes, in part, Lord, but we resist your love and your affection. And then you call us into Sabbath, like you called the Israelites, to stop resisting, to stop working, to stop earning, to stop developing and advancing ourselves so that for some reason we can get more or earn more or have more of your love. You call us a son. You call us a daughter. And when you have us back, you throw a party. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to believe by resting and allowing you to have this amazing love toward us, and then to play and celebrate because we are found. Amen.